Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
And we are here. James Merrillat from DenverFan.com filling in for Zach by today. Brandon Stokely is here on his normal perch. Stoke, what's going on today?
What's happening, man? I didn't know you were coming in today. What, I mean, was it a late audible from by or what happened? Is this planned? I just don't see my emails. What's happening?
Hey, man.
This is a great surprise on a Friday. I got Merrillat. What's up?
Hey, I'm just sitting on my couch last night watching the Nuggets. I get this, get this text saying, hey, you ready to go tomorrow 12 to 3? And I'm like, sure, you bet. You know, the call to the bullpen. I'm always ready.
I love it. I love that you're always ready to rock and roll. But I didn't know. Nobody told me. They probably sent an email out, but I didn't look at it. So I wasn't expecting your voice. But let's rock and roll, my man. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing well. You know, I got to mention, though, like I'm outside today, you know, since we're doing the show from 12 to 3. I got to do a little earlier for my stuff, man. I got, like, spring fever. Am I the only one? I'm outside. It's 60 degrees. Birds are chirping. Like, I am ready to roll. So I haven't been in this good a mood in a long time. You get 3 hours of me not grumpy.
I love it, man. I'm in a great mood, too. I was getting some work done. I got on the Peloton today, so I got my workout. I got my sweat in. I'm going to have a good afternoon after the show. And I got a great weekend plan. It's going to be great weather. I'm with you, though. I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for it to stay lighter, longer,
yep.
Which we'll have here in a couple weeks, or next weekend, actually. Next Sunday, we get that extra hour, which is always awesome. It stays lighter, longer. I love it, man. I love it. Going to have great weather this weekend.
Yep, it's gonna be fantastic. Little NBA All-Star weekend. The Nuggets last night, win their fourth straight, all four on the road. Great way to go into the break. I don't want to take credit for this, Stoke, but they've won five out of six.
And because of you.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I just want to, you know, kind of connect some dots here.
Okay.
On February 22nd, I wrote a column that, you know, Michael Malone wasn't pushing the right buttons with Michael Porter Jr. After the Nuggets lost to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
They've now won five out of six games since then. That was the game when Michael Porter Jr. didn't even play 20 minutes. He didn't play very well. Since then, they've won five out of six. He's been fantastic. He was great last night. Led the Nuggets with 24 points, had, 11 rebounds. Last night, to me, is the formula for how the Nuggets, if they're going to be great, and they can play great. I mean, they at times this year, I mean, they beat Utah when Utah had won, 11 in a row. They beat the Lakers. They win four straight on the road, you know, blew out Milwaukee along the way. So they can play great. But when they're at their best, the formula is pretty easy. You know Jokic is going to show up every night. He's now turned into that guy. You know Jamal Murray is going to show up almost every night. He's pretty much turned into that guy.
Do we?
I think we do.
Are you confident? I'm still not there yet. Now, the last, I don't know, what has it been, 3 weeks or whatever it's been, he's been great. But, man, until I see it for a little bit longer, I'm not ready to go there.
Okay.
Yet. Okay.
I'm not
saying that he's not going to get there. But we've just seen too much up and down from him. And this was a year after the bubble that we were supposed to see more consistency, and we didn't. And then he was injured, this and that. And now we're seeing that consistency. But let's see if it lasts after this All-Star break.
That's fair. But I think he's on the cusp of that. We know Jokic is going to do it every night. He's turned into a star. So I think Murray is right about there. But last night is the formula, right? When Michael Porter Jr. is the third guy, and they're all three out there for significant minutes, and Porter played 37 minutes last night, when they're all at 20 points or more, man, this team can play with anybody in the league. They really can. And that's why I was so frustrated with Michael Malone and his insistence to play Will Barton and Jamichael Green and whatever veteran he was, he had more confidence in. Because it's like, I get it. Like, on that given night, is that maybe a safer option? Sure, you can make that argument. But if you're looking long term, and I guess it's not even that far down the road, but just sort of like, hey, how do we get this team to where they need to be a contender? You have to have those three guys. It's Jokic, it's Murray, it's Porter. They have to all be the stars. He's not going to get there playing, sitting on the bench. Michael Malone must have read my column. They've won 5 out of 6. I don't want to take credit, but
we'll give you a little bit, James. But I look at it as, okay, what's going to happen when all these guys return?
Yeah.
That's the question here. Is it going to go back to the norm where, you know, Michael Porter Jr. is playing, you know, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is. One mistake, he's on the bench. Is that what's going to happen when all these guys come back? So I'm a little bit nervous about that. And I've been down on Mike Malone and how he's handled Michael Porter Jr. Okay, and this goes back to last year,
mm-hmm.
and just not playing him and not taking the lumps last year. And now we're still going through that process because we didn't go through it last year. But Michael Porter Jr. is the guy. He's the difference maker.
Right? Yeah.
Like you said, you know what you're going to get from the Joker. Murray's been great, but you're going to have a third wheel. You're going to have a third wheel, and the potential is there. You know, he's got to be a guy that gets some shots. You know, last night he had 14. Okay, took 9 threes, 5 for 9. Perfect. This guy's got to get his shots off. He's got to be involved in the game offensively. It's been nice seeing him get the boards and all this and that, but he's got to be that third wheel. The Nuggets need a third wheel. Can't be Murray and Jokic every single night. Somebody else has got to be a big-time player and step up and make some plays for him and, you know, go for 20, 24 like he did last night and take some of that load off of those other two guys, especially if they have an off night. And that's the guy to do it is Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned something there. That I think is really the key. You said, hey, is he going to be sitting out there or out there on the floor afraid that if he makes a mistake, he's going to get yanked? And that's been my number one issue with the number of minutes, but that goes hand in hand with as soon as he makes a mistake, he ends up on the bench and he gets, you know, he's in the doghouse and he stays there, whereas other guys can make mistakes, right? Jamichael Green can make two boneheaded defensive plays at the end of the loss in Washington to the Wizards. He keeps getting to play the next game. It didn't affect him. Will Barton at least once a night makes a play where it's like, man, he'd have got benched on my seventh grade team for doing that. He keeps being able to do it.
Right.
And you know, you obviously played at a high level. You've coached. To me, if you've got someone out there who is afraid to make mistakes, mental mistakes is a different thing, but like physical mistakes because they're afraid they're going to get benched, I think it's almost impossible to get the best out of him. I just think that is really, really bad coaching, especially for a young player. I think they need to be building the kid up, instilling confidence in him and saying, man, go play. If you're hustling, you're not going to get benched. The only thing you're going to get benched for on this team is if you're dogging it. To me, that would be my approach. But I think your point about what's going to happen when everybody comes back, I think is well-founded. To me, there's two things they have to make sure that don't happen when they get Gary Harris and Jamichael Green and some of these guys back. One, Michael Porter Jr.'s got to keep playing significant minutes, and he's played, you know, in the four-game winning streak here, 28, 35, 25, 38. That's where he needs to be. The other thing, and I think this has made a big difference for Jamal Murray, with Monte Morris playing or starting and playing 31 minutes, Jamal doesn't have to run the point. He can be the two. And he's just better in that role. He is. So Gary Harris would be my guy that would come off the bench and kind of be the Torrey Craig. Maybe he'll hit a few shots. He can play some defense. I think Monte Morris has to stay in the starting lineup because Jamal's better at the two.
I like it. I like it. We'll see how Mike Malone handles that when after the All-Star break, and hopefully this team gets healthy. But they're on a nice run right now. 5 out of 6, won the last four, nice road trip. So it's great momentum heading to the All-Star break, and hopefully that carry that over and they get healthy, and that's a good thing, not a bad thing. You know, it could be a bad thing, especially when you're running hot with a certain group.
Yep.
What does your coaching staff do when those guys get healthy? And all of a sudden, like you said, is Gary Harris back in the starting lineup? What are you going to do with a team that's playing really well right now when some starters get back and they get healthy?
So that was obviously some of the big news yesterday was the Nuggets getting their fourth straight win, going into the break on a high note. The other big news yesterday was George Payton and Vic Fangio meeting with the media. And, you know, we're going to go through a bunch of the audio from that yesterday, Stoke, because there were a lot of interesting things. Now, these press conferences, it's always kind of comical when the GM and the head coach meet with the media before the start of the league year, before free agency and the draft and all that stuff, because it's this interesting dance, right? The media is asking questions, trying to get some sense of where they're going to go and what they're going to do. And for every team in the league, the GM and the head coach are trying to dance around it and give you a soundbite and tell you something without telling you anything at all. We certainly got some of that yesterday.
Right.
But there were a lot of things to kind of pull from it. And like I said, we'll go through a bunch of these clips as the show goes on. But just sort of in general, listening to Fangio, listening to Payton, anything that kind of jumped out at you as good, bad, indifferent from those two pressers yesterday?
No, I thought George was really good. You know, he wanted everybody back. You know, he wants everybody back. He wants them all back, all good players. We'd love to have them back, which that's what you do. You know, I remember all my meetings at the end of the year or towards the end of the year, and coaches get up there, and they kind of say the same thing. Look, we got some tough decisions to make moving forward when we get to free agency, and we'd love to have all y'all back, but, you know, we can't do that. But we're going to have some tough decisions to make. You know, that's kind of the spill from organizations all the time, and we don't know George Payton, so I don't know if he's like being, you know, serious here, and he's going to try to get all these guys back, or if he's just, you know, if it's just coach speak here. And so I'm not quite sure with George Payton when he says these things. You know, he's talking about Justin Simmons as a priority. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean, hey, we're going to overpay for him, or does that mean, hey, we're just going to franchise you, and if you don't want this contract, we're going to play hardball with you? I don't know what his style is, and when it gets down to it, you know, is he Mr. Nice Guy, or is he going to be, you know, a hard negotiator, kind of like John was? I mean, that's the way John was. I mean, yeah. He's a tough negotiator. I mean, he wouldn't bend for you know, and we've seen it, and sometimes you lose some guys because of that, but we just don't know who George Payton is and what his style is, but, you know, we're fixing to find out.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that he said he wants everybody back, because that was the number one thing that jumped out at me. To me as well, because it's like, hey, we want, you know, Vaughn back, we want Simmons back, we want Shelby back, Philip Lindsay's a good football player, he's, you know, brings some juice, like, we want him back. And I'm like, okay, well, you brought back the whole coaching staff, you want essentially all the key players back. Did I miss something, or did this club go 5-11 last year?
No, you're spot on, they did. I think you look at it, though, and you look at a couple tweaks here and there, and, you know, games are close in the NFL. So it doesn't mean because the Broncos went 5-11 that you know, that these guys are bad players. It certainly you don't want to bring the whole roster back, but, and he's not going to be able to do that. He's not. He's going to lose a couple guys here. I think he's just being nice and, you know, pumping his guys up and saying nice things about guys that were on the roster last year. And that, I think that's what he should do. But we don't know. I don't know. We'll see here once free agency starts, you know, how serious he is.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's sort of, you know, you guys like to give me a hard time because I picked the Broncos to go 10-6 last year.
Right.
And I always try to explain it by saying,
I thought it was like 12-4. It was just 10-6. You sure? You got no, down?
It was 10-6. So it might be 12-4 this year. You never know. It depends on what they do in the offseason. But 10-6 last year. And I always try and explain to you guys that it was based on the roster. Like, I liked the roster. I think they had good talent. And I just didn't, you know, put in enough of a Fangio factor. I think George Payton kind
put
of
it all on Vic, huh?
I think George Payton kind of backed that up yesterday, right? With, hey, we like these guys. He's a good player. Like,
right.
I think George has kind of gone in and looked at it and thought, hey, there's some talent on this roster too. I'm with you. I think part of it is, hey, you're not going to say anything bad about your guys. Of course, you want to bring them all back, and they won't. But I do think, I mean, he called him a sleeping giant, right? When he took the job, and now he's got a chance to kind of dive deeper in it. And when he's talking about these guys, he wants to bring most of the key pieces back. you know, they're going to tender Tim Patrick. They're going to tender Alexander Johnson. They're going to, you know, tender Phil Plincy. He wants to bring back Shelby.
And those are small deals. You know, those are just one-year tenders. So it's not big contracts there to those guys.
I get it. But I mean.
Let's go through them. Do you want to tender Tim Patrick?
Yeah.
Good move or bad move?
That's a good move.
That's a good move. Alexander Johnson, good move or bad move to tender him?
Good move. Yeah, I think you need to replace Josie Jewell, but I think Alexander Johnson can be the other guy.
Yeah. Philip Lindsay for next year. Tender him. Good move or bad move?
I think it's a good move.
I don't know Melvin Gordon's situation.
Yeah.
I mean, they might cut him all together if he gets suspended three games. They can void the contract. So, yes, that's a good move. Who else is getting tendered here? Was there another guy that's getting tendered, or was that the –
Those were the big three. Those were the three that he mentioned. But you know,
so there
you go.
So that's all. I mean, that's all kind of what we thought, and we think those are all good moves. Not a lot of money there. Will depend on what level. Either almost 2.5 to almost 3.5, somewhere around there, right?
Yeah, but
the difference between the tender levels.
Yeah, but if he pulls off what he says he wants to do, right, bringing those guys back, and if they lose him, then they'll get a second round pick or whatever level they decide to tender him at. Which, okay, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But if he does that, if he, you know, is true to his word and is able to pull it off and brings back Simmons and Miller and, you know, Shelby Harris and all these guys, like, other than the 9th overall pick and maybe 40. Right? Like, those are two guys you would expect to contribute as rookies. Like, how's this team going to look different in 2021 than it did in 2020?
Well, James, did you ever improve from one year to the next in anything that you've ever done in life?
Sure. I get what you're saying.
You work and you get better and you improve and you get more comfortable with Pat Shurmur's system. Maybe we find an upgrade at the quarterback position. Jerry Jeudy year two, KJ Hamler in year two, Albert O in year two, Noah Fant year three. You know, you're going to develop and get better, more comfortable from one year to the next. And that's what we're hoping. Cortland Sutton's back. Von Miller's back. Bradley Chubb's got, you know, he's second year after that ACL. That should be, you know, when he's playing at his best and most comfortable and feeling great again. So that's why.
So it sounds like maybe you're on board with me that, hey, they got a pretty decent roster. It's not the Jimmys and the Joes. Like, I think the Jimmys and the Joes are pretty good on this club.
Well, I think it's a, yes, it's a good solid roster. It's not the best, but you know, at the premium positions, you got to have, you know, at the quarterback position, you got to have somebody, right, to give yourself a chance week in and week out. And last year was different than this year, though, James. They had a lot of youth offensively last year, right? That's what you didn't, when you did all your analytics and put it in the computer, that's what the computer didn't spit out. All you do is ask me. I said, they're going to struggle offensively. Pat yep. Shurmur's first year, a lot of youth there. Well, now we're going to have Patty Shurmur for year two, and we're going to have all these guys back again. These young guys going to get better next year. So, no, I do. I mean, the roster isn't awful. It's better than what it's been. Offensive line certainly is a lot better, and you feel good about that group. So, look, I just think you got to find a quarterback. You got to feel good about the quarterback position to give yourself a chance with a good roster to go out there any given Sunday and be able to compete and win a football game. Right now, they just don't have that piece. Will it be Drew Lock? Will it not? Will they bring someone else in? I mean, that will say a lot about where the Broncos are going in 2021.
Yeah, and I think the other piece, and like I say, we'll get into it as the show goes on. The other piece to it, though, he sort of laid the groundwork for, hey, we're not going to be too active in free agency.
Right.
Which concerns me because, you know, with A.J. Bouye getting cut, Jarrell Casey getting cut, what's the immediate thing we do, right? We look at the numbers, see how much cap space got freed up, and we all fall in love with this big number. I mean, if you go to certain sites now, that it's as high as $46 million. Depending on what they do with Kareem, depending on what they do with Vaughn, I mean, Stoke, they could get their cap number up to cap space up to $70 million. I mean, they can go out and do whatever they want, but cap space is only good if you put it to use.
Well,
I'm kind of concerned this is a team that is going to look at it and say, "Hey, we missed out on $100 million in revenue last year by not getting to have people in the stands." Mm-hmm. This is going to be refill the coffers year for the Broncos. It's kind of feeling that way for me.
Gotcha. I'm not concerned that much about that. Really not this year. I think, you know, you don't, you know, like George Payton said, if there's a big hole to fill and there's a guy there, you know what, you'll pay a premium for the guy. But other than that, you know, you're just going to try to pick and choose and get some good deals in free agency. That's usually the best way to operate. And if this is a kind of a regroup year, I'm not wanting the Broncos to go out this offseason in free agency and spend all 45 to whatever they're going to have as far as cap room is concerned, 55, 65 million. I'm not asking for that at all. I'm asking to start laying that foundation down and start building this thing up the right way. I think that's the best approach. I mean, we don't need to be putting Band-Aids on things anymore, right? Yeah. George Payton's got the cupboard is bare, right? I mean, he can orchestrate this thing the way that he wants. He's got time to do it. It's not the Band-Aid approach. So I won't be upset if they operate like that. I mean, they're not going to be cheap, but, you know, also you got to have an eye on the future and give yourself some flexibility and 2022 and beyond.
Does restocking the cupboard mean adding more to the quarterback room? We'll talk about that and more coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
George Payton met with the media yesterday. Not surprisingly, the questions quickly turned to the quarterback position and what his plans were this offseason and moving forward for potentially upgrading at that spot. When the general manager was asked a bunch of different things, including what are the chances of them adding to the quarterback room?
Yeah, I mean, Drew, you know, obviously did a deep dive with Drew and obviously, like I said in my press conference, very talented, you know, was inconsistent at times, has a lot to work on. But, you know, I've spoken with Drew. I see him every day. He's here early. He's working. You know, he really wants to be great. And, you know, we're always going to try to bring in competition at every position and quarterback, you know, as well. But I like the track that Drew's on.
Okay. Yeah, they're bringing someone in. I mean, we know that. That's going to happen, right?
Okay. I would think so.
It's got to happen. I mean, they're not rolling the same room out again. I mean, they're at least bringing a, you know, if they strike out everywhere else, and like they already struck out on, you know, swung and missed on Stafford. If you can't get Deshaun Watson, if you can't get a quarterback in the draft, I mean, they're going to get a veteran quarterback to bring in here. It's not going to be the same guys rolling out in 2021 that we had in 2020, right? I mean, that's a given.
I don't know that it's 100%. I don't. I don't. And here's why. I'm with you. We all know they, you know, took a swing at Stafford and missed. I think if Deshaun Watson, if the Texans finally give in and do start shopping him, I think they'll be in on that. I wouldn't be surprised if they're, you know, talking to the Jets and the Dolphins and some of the teams, you know, at the top of the draft and looking at what are the chances of moving up to get, you know, Fields or Wilson or some of these guys. But unless they hit one of those home runs, you're 100% convinced they're going to bring in a Dalton, Fitzpatrick, someone of that ilk to what? To back up Drew Lock?
1,000%. 1,000%. There's no way on this great planet that we live on that they are rolling Jeff Driskel out there as the backup and ripping. There's just no way. It just can't happen. If that happens, I'm out on George Payton altogether. I'm pulling in James Merrilat. I will know right away.
Teflon George?
Huh?
He'll be Teflon George?
Yes, I'm done with George Payton if the Broncos operate like that this year.
Okay.
You just can't do that at the most important position in all of sports. You're going to treat it like that? We're going to go round two with the same group?
Well, let me play devil's advocate.
Okay.
All right, so that's what they did in 2020.
Yeah.
How did you're going to think this is a crazy question, but hear me out.
Okay.
How did that hurt them in 2020? They went 1-1 when their backups had to start, right? They lost, Driskel lost at home to the Bucks, so they lost to the eventual Super Bowl champs. Uh-huh. Probably weren't going to beat them with Fitzpatrick or Dalton. And then they beat the Jets with Rippon.
Okay.
He just talked in that clip that we played that Drew Lock's in there every day. He's working hard. He wants to be great. So usually it's, hey, we got to have some competition. We got to put somebody behind this kid to push him because, man, he just needs somebody to light a fire under his you-know-what. That doesn't seem to be a problem. So how would the Broncos have been better in 2020 if Ryan Fitzpatrick had been the backup?
Well, I think the mentorship, right? That's what Driscoll is just not. I mean, he's not the guy. He hasn't played enough football to be that sounding board for Drew Lock. Be that guy that, you know, can just really help a young quarterback out. That's not Jeff Driscoll. Plus, he can't throw the football. If we need him to throw the football, he's just not good enough. And he's not gonna give Drew Lock any competition. I want a guy, if it's just gonna be pretty much Drew Lock, and we've missed on a rookie quarterback, we didn't draft anybody, we didn't get Deshaun Watson, at least bring a guy in here to compete with Drew that's gonna push him and say, hey, you better be on your game or this guy's gonna end up starting. That's never gonna happen with Jeff Driscoll.
No, I get it.
That's a cakewalk. So that's why I look at it and just say it's an absolute no-brainer. And if it's the same group, pretty much, maybe, you know, if Rippon's gone and they bring some other young guy in, it's still, that's a debacle. And George Payton just can't start his tenure off like that here. He just can't.
I think though, Stoke, it's one of those things where it sounds good to say, hey, you got to have competition, right? Because, you know, those anybody who ever played sports or who likes sports, that's what it's all about. It's supposed to be competition.
Right.
But at that position, is it? Like, were you ever on a really good team where there was a quarterback competition during training camp where there was a potential that, hey, the number two may overtake the number one? I kind of look at it differently than everybody else where I think if you have competition at that position, then you don't have the answer. It's the old adage of if you got two quarterbacks, you got none. I just don't think competition, I fail to see how giving Drew Lock competition is going to help. If you can find someone that's better than him, then just bring in that guy or draft that guy and move on and say, hey, we upgraded. I don't buy that competition is a good thing at quarterback.
You're right in general. You're right. I mean, it's, like you said, you want one guy taking all the reps, all the starter reps.
Yeah.
So he can get better. But if you can't bring in, you know, a guy to be a true starter, the guy, then are you just going to say that's going to be Drew Lock and we're just going to just give him the reins all over again and just run it back for the next year? I don't think you can do that. I think you got to at least bring someone else in here to push him. And now maybe it's not a 50-50 split. We'll see how it works out. I don't know, but you're going to have to add to the room. You're going to have to get a veteran in the room. You're going to have to get a pro in the room and switch it up and change it up a little bit. You just can't run the same thing back out. But of course, usually when competitions happen, that means you don't have your guy.
Right.
I mean, you're looking for a guy. And usually when you're looking for a guy, neither one of those guys are the guy. You follow me?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
totally.
Usually what happens. I mean, you know, so, and that means it usually doesn't work out.
Saw it here, right? Didn't we see that 4 years ago when it was Simeon V. Lynch? You know what?
Yes.
It was a quarterback competition and we all should have known. You know what that meant? It meant neither guy was the guy.
Well, that was when Paxton was, you know, young. He was still young. We didn't quite know. But usually it doesn't work out. But sometimes you have no other choice. Sometimes that's the way it's got to be. You know, it's just like, hey, that's our situation. We keep our fingers crossed that it works out. I mean, in Seattle, Russell Wilson's rookie year, they had mm-hmm. Matt Flynn. They paid him all that money. I don't think it was a true competition there. But all of a sudden, you know, Russell Wilson came from the back of the pack and walked him down and overtook him, and there he was starting first game of the season, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't a true competition, but still, they saw enough in him to say, okay, we're just going to go with this young guy.
Man, they played a preseason game here that year, not to go
I
off.
I was on that team.
Were you really?
Yeah, it was 2012.
And Russell Wilson, it was second half, you know, and it's all that garbage time type of stuff or whatever, and people are like, yeah, who cares?
Yes.
The guy was the best player on the field, and it was like,
yes.
It
you know what I was saying
up.
To some teammates? And we were just kind of, because, you know, I was, thank goodness, on the sideline. I'd taken a couple hits from Cam Chancellor that game that I didn't feel great about, that still, you know, had a headache at that time. But sitting there on the sidelines watching that second half and that fourth quarter with Russell mm-hmm. Wilson and just like, wow, okay. But this guy, you're not going to be able to do this stuff when it counts, when it matters the most, man. All that running around stuff you're doing, it's really cute out here in preseason. But when the lights come on Sunday and you have to do it, you're not going to be able to pull off those throws and do
right.
all those things. Wow. Wow. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. And, you know, obviously he's been unbelievable and how wrong, you know, I was and a couple other guys were on the sideline watching him play in that preseason game.
It's always one of those things that, you know, whether it was back when Paxton was playing and he was having to play in the second half, or even Drew Locke, you know, his rookie year. And people are like, look who he's surrounded by, and he's got offensive linemen in front of him that, you know, aren't going to be making the team. They're going to have, you know, be selling insurance in a week or whatever. It's like, yeah, I get that. But if you're going to be a great quarterback and you're out there, the guys on the other side of the field, too, playing defense against you probably aren't going to make the team either. Like, you should dominate. You should stand out. And to me, the Russell Wilson game was the prime example of it. So it always worries me a little bit when you see these guys that are supposed to be great and they're, you know, having to play in second halves and kind of preseason games and kind of, you know, pay their dues. Like, man, if they don't pop, if they don't jump off the screen or, you know, just stand out head and shoulders above everybody, it's cause for concern. So,
yeah, no, it is. But I think when you look at the quarterback room, James, so worst case scenario for me, and this is the bottom of it, is that the Broncos, you know, we miss out on Deshaun Watson or he doesn't get traded. We don't draft a young guy. There is no first round early move up, go get a guy or stay at nine and get Mac Jones or get Trey Lance. There's none of that. We draft a cornerback.
Yep.
But at least at the bare minimum, if all that happens, we got to at least go out there and get us a Mitchell or an Andy or a, you know, Ryan or an Alex Smith. You follow me? Mitchell Trubisky, Andy Dalton. Follow that, right? I mean, that's the bare minimum.
I think you're probably right. I just don't know that if Mitchell was standing on the sideline,
I'm not happy. No, I wouldn't feel any better. I wouldn't. But you got to at least try to upgrade the Jeff Driskel. And you can say what you want about Mitch Trubisky. I'm with you. He's a better quarterback than Jeff Driskel.
Andy Dalton,
same thing. So, I mean, you got to at least do that. I mean, I would prefer at that time, if that happens, to let's go just get Alex Smith and make him the backup.
Yeah, no, I'm on board.
Let's just go get Alex Smith, make him the backup, and I don't know, 2 years, $10 million, we got the cap room, whatever. I mean, 2 years, 12, 2 years, 14. I think a guy like that's worth it. I think, you know, I would much prefer that than going to get Mitchell Trubisky or Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he'd be a much better mentor because he's a guy who's at least performed at a high level and
knows his role.
Yeah,
knows
exactly. Exactly.
I think he knows his playing days are behind him. I mean, his good days are behind him, obviously.
No, I'm with you. I think he would be perfect. But obviously, George Payton's going to add to that room when he's doing it. What are the traits that he's looking for in a quarterback?
You know, I haven't even seen Drew. I haven't seen him live on the field. I've just seen the tape. So there's so much that goes into it, you know, in evaluating a quarterback. You know, I like to see him live. You like to see him in critical situations. You like to see the accuracy. You know, how is he with his teammates? What's the leadership like? So I can't give you three things. There's so much involved in evaluating the quarterback. And so I look forward to evaluating Drew further, you know, in person. But he does have all the traits you look for in a quarterback.
I mean, it's hard to evaluate quarterbacks, obviously. We've learned that lesson here the last 5 years. You watch film, you go to watch them in person. I mean, accuracy, ball placement, anticipation, processing, going from one read to the next. But guys in college don't really have to do that. They don't have to do that a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one read, boom, guys wide open. You got guys running all over the field wide open. So it's hard to project into quarterbacks and how they're going to, you know, their game is going to translate to the NFL game, which is so much different and so much tougher. You don't have 6-7 seconds to throw the ball anymore. You got to do it now. Bam. You know, you got to know right away that first read over there on the left is taken away because they rolled to cover two. Now you got to go back to your right, and you got to do it quick. Or Von Miller's going to hit you in the back of the head, you fumbled it.
Yeah.
In college, you have all day. You know, left, no. Oh, they're playing cover two. Let me go back to the right. That doesn't work in the NFL. So it's a hard thing to do. There's a lot of things to look at, obviously, like George Payton was saying. So we'll see. We'll see what he you know, wants to do there.
I think it's tough to evaluate a college quarterback and how that's going to how he's going to translate to the NFL. I'm 100% with you on that. I think that's especially the way they play now in college. I think it's really, really difficult. But it should be a heck of a lot easier to evaluate, you know, these free agents that we were talking about, right? Like Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, yeah.
There's all sorts of film on him. And you got 18 games of Drew Locke to watch. And, Yeah, would he be a little different in person? Sure. And, you know, you can watch him on the practice field and watch him make throws. And, oh, okay, it's different than watching the tape. But I think there's plenty for him to evaluate. When he was kind of going through his, you know, his checklist there of what he's looking for, I think in terms of, like, how he interacts with his teammates, I think Drew Locke's great at that. I think his teammates like him. I think he's a good leader. I think, you know, how does he perform in the clutch? I think you can look at that Charger game last year where they had the big comeback and scored on the final play of the game to win it. I think there's a guy that's okay. He's kind of got the it factor in those kind of moments.
Look at the Chargers game, right?
Yep.
In the clutch where he threw the ball, you know, I mean, made some great plays down the stretch there, and Judy was just dropping everything. Judy dropped the touchdown. And then look at the Raiders game, the last game of the season. Hit Judy on that end cut touchdown. So, yes, to your point there, I mean, you can watch that on film, how you perform in clutch moments, and Drew had some checks there.
I think the one thing he mentioned that Drew Locke, and this isn't a shock, but the one thing he mentioned that's important that I think Drew Locke does not check the box yet was accuracy. So I think the question then has to become, well, is it because he's making bad reads? Is he making inaccurate throws? Is it the offense? Like, why is Drew Locke's completion percentage as bad as it is? I would guess, though, Stoak, you can figure that stuff out from watching tape, right? Like, can't you look at it and say, hey, he had Noah Fant wide open there on a little wheel route for a touchdown, missed him, and then on the next play threw an interception against the Chargers, right? Like, you can look at that. You don't have to be in person to see that. And, and I think that's the big evaluation of the completion. We can all look at the numbers and the stats and see them on the screen or on the paper in front of us, but it's why is it the number? Is it Drew Locke? Is it something that's correctable, or is it not? I would think he'd be able to figure that out.
Well, and I think another thing, and I don't know if he mentioned it or not, but his decision-making, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's a big part of playing quarterback is your decision-making. And we saw too many times where he's on the run and he just made some boneheaded throws. And young quarterbacks do that sometimes, but, you know, you just kind of, your second year, you know, he's moving left and he tries to throw this laser sidearm on the first drive and it's first and 10 or whatever, right? Just stuff like that that just you can't do at the quarterback position. So that's another key component of evaluating quarterbacks is, you know when to hold them and know when to fold them, right? Know when to just throw the ball away sometimes. And we see Drew sometimes in Raiders game get pressure in his face and just kind of lob it up there to a linebacker. So just things like that obviously young quarterbacks do a lot of, but you just can't continue to do it if you want to keep your job and if you want to be a starter in the NFL.
The other option for potentially adding somebody to the quarterback room, obviously, is the draft.
Well, another thing, James, like, you know, George Payton can, you know, he said it. He's talked to Drew, right? He sees him in the building a lot, which is great. I mean, Drew's grinding right now. I mean, he's a worker. We love that about him, right? But, you know, if you're trying to find out about, you know, he says he likes to go to games. I think when he's talking about when he's evaluating quarterbacks, like, you're going to evaluate college quarterbacks. You want to look at their leadership skills and those types of things. Well, for him, you know, all he has to do is go talk to, you know, Mike Shula and Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio about Drew. Hey, what kind of leader is this guy? What is he like? Right?
Exactly.
So he's got resources in the building to go to be able to find out some of those clues about Drew.
Yeah, when the guy's been in the building for 2 years and, you know, the offensive coordinator is only with him a year and the quarterback's coach, but everybody else, the head coach and most of his teammates have been there for 2 years.
Offensive line coach.
Yeah, exactly. You got Munchak, you got Fangio, you got all these different guys who you should be able to trust who can give you an honest assessment of, hey, here's what the guy is like in the meeting rooms. Here's what he's like in the locker room. Here's what he's like in the huddle. Here's what he's like on the sideline. All those things that maybe you can't see on film. Yeah, it shouldn't be a mystery for George Payton as he tries to piece that together. Now, you know, given the fact that he, you know, new to the job, it was a weird college football season. If they're looking at, you know, prospects in the draft, that does make it a little tougher. That is another way they can add somebody to the quarterback room. They have a top 10 pick. George Payton was asked whether or not the Broncos would look at quarterback at number 9.
Yeah, I mean, we're open to any position with that first pick, and we're going to take the best player that can help this football team. So quarterback, you know, safety, it doesn't matter what player, you know, what position. If it's the best player on the board, we're going to take him.
Perfect. Thanks. You know, that's kind of the GM speak there, right? I mean, that's
the best player available.
That goes without saying. I mean, that's what they pretty much all do. But I like where George has come from. You know, Minnesota, what they've done there. You know, they've done pretty much everything in the first round. I mean, they've taken quarterbacks. They've taken, you know, linebackers. I mean, they've kind of done it all. So, you know, I believe what he's telling me. I mean, if it's a quarterback and he's got to be aggressive, he'll be aggressive to try to go get that quarterback. You know, you kind of look at where he's from and who they've drafted when he's been there. So, but most GMs, that's the way they're going to operate, right? I mean, they're going to take the best player available on their board and kind of just keep, you know, plowing forward. But we'll see. We'll see how aggressive he is or how conservative he is in the draft. You know, well, is he looking to move up? Is he looking to move back? That's what interests me. I don't really care about, you know, who you're going to pick, cornerback, quarterback, whatever. We know that he's going to go with the best player available. But is he an aggressive guy on draft day? Is he a more conservative guy? Will he mix it up a little bit? Is he trying to accumulate picks in this first draft? Or is he all in to try to move up and go get a young quarterback in this first draft? So that to me is what really intrigues me about George Payton in this draft this year.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I thought the other part, because you're right, the hey, we're going to take the best player available, that's what they all say. The fact that they're open to quarterback, like, you know, look, they're in Kansas City, they're not going to say, yeah, if they had the ninth pick for some reason, they're not going to say, hey, we're open to taking a quarterback. So it does tell you a little bit that they're not 100% sold, which isn't, you know, that's not groundbreaking news or anything. I thought it was interesting, though, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, that the other position he mentioned was safety. They're not taking a safety at 9, but it does tell me that's a position they're looking to maybe get younger and cheaper at. They had 2 of the 9 highest paid safeties in the league last year in Simmons and Kareem Jackson. It would not shock me if with a premium pick this year, first round, second round, third round, they take a safety and try and bring in a guy that's going to start day one.
Yeah, well, the uncertainty surrounding those two guys. Obviously, Kareem Jackson's getting older. George Payton talked about him. I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit more here shortly. But you look at the uncertainty surrounding him and his future, but also Justin Simmons. You know, he keeps on saying that he wants him back. Of course he wants him back, but does Justin Simmons and his agent, you know, want to be back enough to compromise a little bit? Or will it be, this is our price, we're not budging, and they can't get a deal done, and what happens? Do you trade, do you franchise tag him and trade him? You franchise tag him for one more year and just watch him walk out the door? What's going to go on there? So you have to start planning for the future at that position, whether it's Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons, whatever. Both of those guys could be gone in 2022. So certainly, yes, they need to add to that room and get younger there.
Yeah, so like I say, I don't think they're taking a safety at number 9.
Right.
By any means, but I do think that was a little bit of insight and not a, you know, something he slipped up in saying necessarily, but I did think it provided a hint that, they're gonna try and find a future starter at that position, in this draft. Cause you're right, even if they bring back Kareem, even if Justin Simmons signs a long-term deal or he's franchise tag and they're both the starters, in 2021, I think there's very little chance that they're both here in 2022.
Right.
I mean, how long are you going to continue to have 2 of the 10 highest paid safeties in football? That just doesn't seem to make
business,
much sense.
Really. Right.
No.
It's not a good way to operate.
It's not a good position to invest that kind of money. All right. So George Payton wasn't the only one who talked about Drew Lock in the quarterback position yesterday. Vic Fangio. Oh boy. He also weighed in. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.